Well, here we are, my very first Bible on Broadway sermon, which maybe you could tell since I've already messed up a cue. But I'm so happy to be here with all of you. Little Women is a long story, so I'll do my best to hit major highlights. But as the theme of this year's Bible on Broadway is required reading, I encourage you to read this beautiful story if you haven't already. Let's begin with the Bible portion of the Bible on Broadway before diving into the show. Our scripture reading comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Paul is imprisoned in Rome, and he's writing to thank the people from the church at Philippi for sending him gifts and having concern for him. He encourages them to continue living faithfully, following the example of Christ. His message is one of hope and rejoicing in the Lord, even in difficult circumstances. Here's Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in any circumstance. I have experienced times of need and times of abundance. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of contentment, whether I go satisfied or hungry, have plenty or nothing. I am able to do all things through the one who strengthens me. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. So Paul is imprisoned, yet proclaiming that he has learned the secret of contentment. He doesn't articulate the secret here, just that it comes from the one who strengthens him. And while we will explore some ways to cultivate contentment, I don't want to downplay at all the very real reasons that many people have to feel discontent. Political turmoil, mental illness, war, family strife, these are serious situations. But perhaps Little Women could help us find small ways to create contentment, even in difficult circumstances. Little Women, the musical, follows the lives of the four March sisters, Meg, Jo, Beth, and Amy, as they grow up in Civil War era America. The story primarily focuses on Jo, the headstrong and ambitious second eldest sister, who dreams of becoming a famous writer. She writes tales full of blood and guts, which receive mixed reviews from readers. The March family is facing financial hardship while their father is serving as a Union Army chaplain and is away at war. The sisters lament that Christmas won't be the same without him, or without gifts, or without a tree. But Jo seeks to inspire her sisters by persuading them to put on a play.
Years from now, people will talk about us. One Christmas Eve, four penniless and ragged sisters put on an operatic tragedy for all of Concord. Filled with blood and guts, two massacres, a masked ball, and several heart-wrenching scenes. We'll dim the lights, the crowd will hush. We'll start the overture and Beth will surely blush. And when Clarissa starts to plead, Christmas will exceed our finest dreams.
Jo, do I die again in this one?
Yes, Meg, you will die like none before. The world will shudder when your body hits the floor. For when Rodrigo makes you bleed, Christmas will exceed our finest dreams. Now, Amy has Clarissa, only passion is permissible. This tragedy depends upon the fire in your eyes. And Beth, when you're the mother, you'll be noble, you'll be pure. All hearts will melt the moment mother cries. Let us begin. I know you're tired, I know it's hard, but we will triumph when Rodrigo yells on guard. Our success is guaranteed. Christmas will be thrilling, Christmas will be gory, Christmas will exceed our finest dreams. No matter what happens, we must promise that we'll always be the four March sisters. Forever!
Forever!
I've got my boots and hat, my mustache to make their spirits soar. I'm your king, my aspirin's guaranteed. With curtains on
Christmas, we'll be thrilling.
I'll show them all I'm no exceed. In a dress all buttoned and pearled, I'm ready to take a bow. I'm singing a song
with brave Rodrigo screams.
All that I am so
proud.
My dearest mama, there will be Christmas after all.
Christmas will exceed our finest dreams.
The four March sisters, forever. In an uncertain time, when many of life's luxuries are not available to the family, the sisters lean on one another. They lean into their creativity. Jo writes, Beth plays the piano, Amy sketches. Creativity can be an avenue for contentment. Nigerian writer and educator Ehime Ora articulates it this way. You gotta resurrect the deep pain within you and give it a place to live. That's not within your body. Let it live in art. Let it live in writing. Let it live in music. Let it be devoured by building brighter connections. Your body is not a coffin for pain to be buried in. Put it somewhere else. When you feel the weight of your personal struggles heavy within you, search for a creative outlet. You don't have to be a professional musician or artist. You can create just for fun or catharsis. Write a poem, paint a picture, dance around your living room. I know people in this congregation that do woodworking, quilting, karaoke. Find a way to express yourself and focus on the process, not the product. Share it only if you want to. Jo shares the play with her sisters and enlists them to be its performers. When the song finishes, Jo is filled with energy and asks her sisters to give her a task. Amy requests that Jo find them a Christmas tree, which she does. The sisters see a perfect tree in their neighbor's yard, and Jo cuts it down, much to the dismay of her sisters, who are convinced they'll be known as the family with the criminal sister. When their mother, Marmy, discovers what Jo has done, she is appalled. And when their neighbor, Mr. Lawrence, who is none too pleased to have had his tree cut down, confronts the Marches, the family resolves to deliver the tree to the Hummels, an impoverished family living near them. I would like to say, and this is the only time I'll do this, this part of the musical is not the same as the book. In the novel, the March sisters end up giving their lavish Christmas breakfast to the Hummels, with whom they maintain a relationship, offering them charity and caring for their sick children. But I can understand why the writers of the musical made this move. In one fell swoop, they establish the relationship between Mr. Lawrence, their well-to-do and grumpy neighbor, and subsequently his nephew, Laurie, with whom the sisters develop almost a sibling relationship. And they mention the Hummels, an important piece of the March family story, confirming their stance toward sharing, even when it's difficult. And this brings us to the second way in which we can cultivate contentment, gratitude and generosity born from that gratitude. When we see that we have an abundance of something, even if we don't normally have it, if we're grateful, we can pass it on. Even grumpy old Mr. Lawrence learns this lesson. Later in the story, he develops a friendship with Beth, gifting her a nice piano that she can play. When we see someone struggling near us, and we have even a little to share, we should do it. Whether it's food, money, a piano, a smile. Give thanks for your blessings and pass them on. I cannot tell you how many times I have been a recipient of someone's blessings. Each time it comes to me, I feel grateful, and I try to find a way to pay it forward. So our suggestions for contentment, courtesy of the March family, are now creativity, gratitude, and generosity. When the older March sisters are getting ready for a ball, the whole family jumps in to help, offering gloves, shoes, and hairstyling. Even with all this help, Joe ends up wearing a gown with a burn mark on the back. Amy, the youngest and probably the one desiring most to become part of high society, wishes she could attend the ball as well, even though she's too young. In a fit of jealousy, Amy burns Joe's manuscript in the fireplace while they're at the ball. When Joe discovers it, she is obviously angry. The rift between the sisters continues until one day Amy is skating on a frozen pond but falls through the ice. Their best friend Lori rescues her, and the sisters repair their bond. Nothing like a scare to put our relationships into perspective. But what are we to do when that most insurmountable obstacle, death, reaches us? Beth, Joe's beloved sister, with whom she shares a special bond, has been sick, and she's approaching the end.
Let's pretend we're riding on a kite. Let's imagine we're flying through the air. We'll ascend until we're out of sight. Light as paper, we'll soar. Let's be wild up high above the sand. Enjoy the view and never land. Floating far from the shore, some things are meant to be. The clouds moving at fast and free, the sun on a silver sea, a sky that's bright and blue, and some things will never end. The thrill of our magic ride, the love that I feel inside for you. We'll climb high beyond the break of day, sleep on stardust and dine on bits of moon. You and I will find the Milky Way.
Anything.
I never made plans about what I would do when I grew up, and I'm not afraid to die. The hardest part, Joe, is leaving you.
I won't let it happen. You will get better. You will.
Some things are meant to be. The tide turning endlessly. The way it takes hold of me, no matter what I do, but some things will never die. The promise of who you are, your memories when I am.
Once again, Beth and Joe turn to their creativity, pretending to be riding a kite high above the trouble they face on the ground in real life. The sisters take one last adventure together, if only in their imaginations. They cling to one another and the bond they share to help them through this difficult time. Over and over again in this tale, the March family and the community around them depend on one another to help make it through challenging circumstances. In the wake of Beth's death, Joe struggles, as I'm sure many of us can personally understand. How are we to go on when a person we love and hold dear is no longer physically with us? Marmy gives Joe advice that is full of compassion and encouragement.
I never dreamed of this sorrow. I never thought I'd have reason to lament. I never knew heartbreak. How I wish I could change the way things went. I wanted nothing but goodness. I wanted reason to prevail, not this bare emptiness. I wanted days aplenty, but I refuse to feel tragic. I am aching for more than pain and grief. There has got to be meaning, most of all when a life has been so brief. I've got enough to learn something. How can I give her any less? I want life to go on. I want days of plenty. You have to believe there is reason for hope. You have to believe that the answers will come. You can't let this defeat you. I won't let this defeat you. You must fight to keep her there within you.
Marmy urges Joe to keep living despite her heartache. She knows that Beth's spirit can go on living within those who loved her, in her mother and her sisters, in Mr. Lawrence and the Hummel family. So I believe our final opportunity to foster contentment is by living in community with one another. That is a through line for the March family and for Paul in his letter to the Philippians. We will face trials and heartache, but we can be there for each other. We can support and encourage each other, hold someone when they cry, Rejoice with someone when they accomplish a goal. Listen with no other agenda than to let a person know they have been heard. I mentioned in the beginning that I would only be able to hit a few highlights of this long and beautiful story. Otherwise, I could keep you here all afternoon. But I do want to tell you how things end up. Joe does become a published writer, but not for her gory tales, rather because she writes the story of the March sisters. She meets a professor in New York who encourages her writing, and they get married. All three living sisters marry. While traveling in Europe, the youngest, Amy, encounters family friend Lori, her rescuer from the frozen pond, and they eventually marry. Meg, the oldest, marries Lori's tutor and has children. And while life's trials continue, because that's life, the March sisters continue to find contentment. Friends, in these days of discontent, as wars rage and election season stirs hatred and violence, as well as whatever is happening for you personally, remember the March sisters. Be grateful for the good that comes your way, and out of your gratitude, practice generosity. Find creative outlets when things become overwhelming. And most of all, remain in community. Find your people. It may be your family or your chosen family. You certainly have a community here at Uprising. In these ways, whether we are in a time of need or a time of abundance, may we receive the gift of contentment through the one who strengthens us. Amen.